pastor who is going to bless us with a song.
Every time that we are gathered together in His name, there He is also in power and in strength. Let us continually offer a sacrifice to Him, for it is good to give praise unto our God. Every time that we are gathered together in His name, there He is also in power and in strength. Let us continually offer a sacrifice to Him, for it is good to sing praise unto our God. For He inhabits the praises of His people, and let our praise be sweet incense unto You. May the lifting of our hands be as the Lord, we love You. Oh, Lord, we love You. Yes, we do. Every time that we are gathered together in His name, there He is also in power and in strength. Let us continually offer a sacrifice to Him, for it is good to sing praise unto our God. For He inhabits the praises of His people, and let our praise be sweet incense unto You. May the lifting of our hands be as the evening sacrifice. Lord, we love You. Oh, yes, we love You. Yes, we do. Oh, for You inhabit the praises of Your people, and let our praise be sweet incense unto You. Let the lifting of our hands be as the evening sacrifice. Lord, we love You. Oh, yes, we love You. Lord, we love You. Oh, yes, we love You. Lord, we love You. Oh, yes, we love You. Yes, we do.
Hallelujah. Father, thank You for the opportunity we have this morning. Guide us by Your mighty Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here with you in Mutare. And I believe that God has already blessed you with the mega church. Amen. Church growth, church planting, These are important subjects for us in this conference. So as Doctor has already shared, transform your pastoral ministry, the art of shepherding. I know that whenever Doc speaks, there are great blessings in the ministry. Amen. Today I want to share with you about spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, 23. Verse 16. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Verse 17. You fools and blind, whether is greater the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? All right. Verse 19. You fools and blind, whether is greater the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Amen. Spiritual blindness is just like physical blindness, in the sense that it affects you. It's one of the most severe handicaps a person can ever have, is to be made blind. All right? And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, we start to see the sources of blindness, causes of blindness. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. If our gospel is hid, all right, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Amen. So, you know, I'm already going faster than I should have gone, but if we go back to Matthew 23, the first cause of blindness you can see is hypocrisy in proud pastors. All right? Jesus was speaking about pride in Matthew 23. He says, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. He that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Woe to you, Pharisees. Woe to you, scribes. You devour widows' houses. Woe to you, scribes, hypocrites. You go around to make converts who is worse than yourself. Woe to you, blind guides. So you see a constellation of spiritual problems assembled here, and these problems are found in no other than older pastors and people who are in the ministry for a long time. And he called them blind guides. Blind guides. So blindness is one of the strong handicaps. That is why everybody feels great compassion towards anybody who is blind, because it's a debilitating condition. It is a it gives you a great deficiency because you cannot see. Now, one of the main reasons for blindness is pride. When you are proud, you cannot see many things. You see, when you are proud, you cannot see many things. So I have this book on the formula for humility. Now, Jesus was dealing with pride, proud pastors. They have never been told something as shocking as what Jesus told them. Blind guides, you're blind. And that was one of the main things, that you are blind. Now, blindness means you can't see certain things or you don't know certain things. All right? And this is one of the amazing things that affect many people who are in the ministry. How many here are pastors? How many are not pastors? Okay. So, if you are in the ministry, you want to serve God, you must pray that you will not be proud. Most governments, you know, political governments, when they are in power, are full of pride. They become so arrogant, especially when they've been there for a long time. And because of that, they can't see the realities of the problems that people are experiencing. And sometimes they don't even relate with their old friends or people that they think are not important. Do you see? They don't relate with them. They just say, oh, you are nothing. But that is the cause of blindness. They can't see because they are too big to see. God is below you. You see? So, if you take Americans, white Americans, they are... Few white Americans are likely to read my book because of pride. It's like, what are they going to learn from Africa? But when they look at Africa, we are not so prosperous here. Do you see? We don't have so many things. You know, our jobs are finished. The roads are not done. You know, water is not flowing. Lights are going off. Is it not true? Our currency is finished. We have so many problems. So, when an African writes, somebody whom they think is inferior, says something, do you see? They are not likely to even look and say, these nobodies. You know, these nobody. That's why I stopped putting my picture at the back of my book. You'll not see my picture anywhere. Because people look at your color to decide that you are speaking rubbish or nonsense. Yes. So for me to be standing here and have in print, you know, several million books is a miracle. It's a big miracle. Yeah, that is working that right before your eyes because I'm not American and I'm not white. Do I look white? Well, depends on how you look. Whitish. When I go to England, they say I'm black. When I go to America, they say I'm black. When I come to Africa, they say I'm white. So where do I belong? In the sea. So, blindness is caused by pride. Why? Pride is like a hot air balloon. It makes you fly high. And you can't see real things on the ground. Because when you are up, everything looks small. You see, it looks like it's not important. Even one individual on the ground looks small. So when you are proud, you can't see the reality. So most of the governments are filled with proud people, chopping money, enjoying power. And they are so high that when they look down, our issues look like small things. Why are you talking about this? Why are you talking about that? You are nothing. Is that not so? Yes. And so sometimes they are surprised when they are out of power. Now, the same thing goes for pastors. We can be so high in the church, we don't know real things anymore. And we are not prepared to do real things and see real things. Most pastors are not interested in soul winning on the ground. All right, where's my book on soul winning? Soul winning. Tell them right here. We are now above soul winning. It is very rare to see a man of God talking to another person about Christ and say, you know Jesus Christ, receive him into your life. Can I pray with you now? I want to lead you to Christ. I want to bring you to church. A man of God. Oh, man of God, you see him in a very nice suit in a big car. That shows he's a man of God, not that he's witnessing. Do you see? That's a man of God today. A man of God is a great person who never wins souls. Soul winning is for juniors. Going to where souls are is for nobodies. Beginners. You see, pride makes you blind. That's why one time I was recently with some pastors and they were saying that, oh, now the gospel has reached to the ends of the world, this and that, more souls are being saved, more people are turning to Christ, there's revival. I told him that you don't know anything about church planting and soul winning. And he said he has planted t-shirts. I said, you haven't planted any church. You sent money. Sending money to an African is not the same as planting a church. You don't know what he has used the money for. Do you see? Yes. So my friends, when we become big, the ordinary things like prayer, it looks small to you when you are great. The importance of praying. You know, I have a book called How to Pray. How to Pray. You know, men of God wouldn't want to even read such a book. You know, when I was in Korea, I learned from Yonggi Cho that he wakes up every day to start praying. And he said his pastors must pray 3 hours every day. Minimum. If you are a pastor, you must pray 3 hours. An ordinary Christian is 1 hour a day. When Jesus said, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? And then leaders pray minimum of 2 hours a day. And a pastor prays 3 hours every day. If you are a pastor, 3 hours. I learned it. For me, the number 3 is in my head as a minimum number of hours I must pray every day. And most pastors are above such things. You see, the ordinary things are too small and too minor for pastors. Pastors don't want to go to towns and villages to preach. Because it's below us. Do you see? Like most of the African governments, the minister in charge of whatever, you never see if he's the one minister in charge of harbors. You know harbor, what a harbor is, where ships are. That minister, he'll never go there. He's in the office. It's what we call an armchair minister. He's sitting in armchair, signing invoices and receipts for things that are not real. And they will not go down practically to go and see what is happening. And many of us who are called men of God, and servants of the Lord. We are not interested in such things. So pride blinds you, because pride, the Bible says, he's puffed up. When you are puffed up, there's more air in you. And you are able to, that's why planes can fly. Because they are full of air. Do you see? They are full of air. So, relatively speaking, their density is low. Density is mass over volume. That's why ships float. You see? It's full of air, which means it's full of nothing. So when you are full of nothing, you become so big and you look down. You know, the people who are surprised that I'll go to Kadoma, I'll go to Gweru, I'll go to Kwekwe, I'll go to Mutare, I'll go to Marondera, I'll go to some of the towns, our pastors, they are the ones who are surprised. Where should I go? What should I do with my life? You know, go ye into all the world. It's below us. So pride makes you blind. So all of us must pray, Lord, what is my blind spot? Because Jesus said, you blind guys, you pastors, scribes and Pharisees, you are blind. So I've been praying, Lord, let me see what I don't see. What I can't see that I think I see. Help me to see. I'm praying for myself, because as you go on, you see that you are not seeing a whole lot of things, but you think you are seeing, but you are not seeing. Hey! Are you listening to me? So spiritual blindness is very, 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 very dangerous and a fatal disease. It makes you fatally deficient. You know? Then, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you see the next type of blindness there, which we just read. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And with it, you can see the cause of blindness, the second cause of blindness right there, which is the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So the next type of blindness is something that prevents light from getting into your mind. Do you see? Because it says that God or Satan has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. So our minds are shut off from wisdom and knowledge in another form of debilitating blindness, where you don't see and know many things. Do you understand? You don't know many things. You don't see many things. He said that Satan has blinded the minds, or he has blinded the thinking. So the thinking, the mind is used for thinking. That's the part that is not working. Now, in Africa, many pastors don't read. And many Christians don't read. They say if you want to hide a secret from a black man, put it in a book. He will never open the book. If you put it in the fridge, he will see it, because he will go to the fridge to get food. If you put it in the kitchen, he will find it. But if you put it in a book, he will not see it. Because the minds are blocked from knowledge and wisdom. It says, lest the light of the gospel. Gospel is what we are preaching. So that preaching is a type of light. And when you are suffering from spiritual blindness, you can't see or understand anything. That's why some of you would even close your eyes when I'm preaching and fall asleep. It shows the type of severe blindness that you are experiencing. Severe blindness. It's like anything that is coming to your mind is—it's actually like a kind of sleeping vapor that overwhelms you. As soon as there must be some thinking, it overwhelms you. Most of the things that we do in Africa, we don't want to think deeply. how to run a factory, how to have a currency, how to develop the people, how to let people be rich. We don't think deeply. So once the mind is going to work, not that we don't have the things, we have everything. We have everything. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. So the minds have been turned off. Now, if you take churches, the building of a church, you see that these people, those who pretend, they are the ones who spoil churches. Judases. You are pretending to be a pastor, but you are a spy. A government spy. Those who leave you. People who leave. You know? Oh. Those who leave churches and spoil churches. When you go around, you see many churches are divided into small, small churches because of one person that left the church. And sometimes when they are going, they can take half of the church. I had a church once, the pastor left and he took the whole church. As I speak now, that church is closed down because of the number of people that he took and the whole church. I have two churches like that. Yes. You see, so I've developed a teaching called Those Who Leave You to fight such people. If you like, joke with it, and you will always be in darkness. But these are revelations that are there to block the destruction of the church. Those who leave you are the most dangerous people you can ever... You see, one person who is with you for 5 years, and then everybody likes him because he's the assistant pastor or he's the worship leader, you know? I tell you, when he's leaving, that is it. One day, one of my church members, a normal black pastor, he had about 70 people joined his church. Yes, there were lots. I mean, and they were from, I think, Romania or Bulgaria, one of those places. They were all white people. And they had a choir leader. And they were all in the choir. So the church was growing. It was a mixture of black and white people. But the white people had a choir leader, do you see, who was a powerful choir leader who used to lead the choir on Sundays. So one day, the choir leader decided to leave the church. And when he left the church, all the white people and all the choir leaders and all the choristers, everybody left with this, either Romania, Bulgaria, Slovakia, one of these countries. Hey! The church reduced from about 70 or 80 to about 10. Yes. Those who leave you, hey, they are dangerous guys. You have to read about it. Don't block your mind. Satan wants you to sleep when I'm preaching. He wants you not to know about such a book. Do you understand? It's a form of, he wants you to remain blind. Charlie, if you see a blind person and you know a grown-up who is blind, you will feel for the person. One day I met a sister who was going to marry a blind man. So I asked her that, how does he know that you are beautiful? How is he able to tell that you are beautiful, that he wants you? And she was explaining, either by touching or her voice, her attitude. So I asked her that, so when he's going to spend money, how does he know? And she was saying that, look, people really cheat him. People really cheat the man because he can't see. It's like you can be in the house and do things. You can even mock at him. Oh, he's a stupid man. You are crazy, but he can't see you. Then after you just say something nice. To be blind is a severe handicap. And to be blind spiritually is a severe handicap as a pastor. Yes.
Severe. People will cheat you all the time. These people, hey, those who leave you, those who pretend, those who forget. People you care for, when they are even leaving you, they don't say even bye-bye. They just go. You anointed them, you prayed for them, they don't care. When they were down, you were there. When they needed help, you did something for them. But when a time comes and they get angry or something happens, they change so much, you cannot even believe it. Those who forget, Hebrews 6:10 says that God is not unrighteous to forget your labor, your works. So as for God, he's not unrighteous, which means he doesn't forget things, whatever you do. Even David, you know, when David went to sleep with Bathsheba and killed Uriah, you know, God didn't forget David's good works. So later on in the Bible, you see David was being described. The Bible says that, and David followed the Lord in all things except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. So even though David had sinned in the matter of Uriah the Hittite, God still remembered all the good works that David had done, except only in this particular case where he had not done the right thing. So God doesn't forget what we have done. And he doesn't forget good things that have been done. But many people forget. And that's why even sometimes heads of state are afraid to hand over power. Because when you hand over power, people are very wicked and ungrateful. And you'll be surprised that the person who helped them, fought for them, built for them, they will not remember anything. They will curse the person. If you don't take it, they will even kill the person. So a lot of places, people stay on for years and years because people are wicked and people are ungrateful and people forget. Yes. Hey. Recently, the president of Gambia, he lost elections. But this week, he says that he didn't lose again. He's now saying that he doesn't want to go. Because if he goes, you may be surprised what will happen to him. Those who are there. Look, one day I met a pastor. He said to me, not that he said to me, I was there. He had a church, a beautiful church. He preached. I was in the church many times he was preaching. Nice. And one day he decided that he wanted to go to another country to go and do some work. And he had built a big church, the biggest church in that town, that city. When he left, the pastor that he put in charge of the church, he told the congregation that the founder and the senior pastor who had been there for so many years was a very bad man. He was wearing alligator shoes. His clothes are from here. His car costs this. His house is this. And the pastor told me himself, he said, I just wanted them to, I've been in the church for all these years, send me something small every month so that I can even live because I've been there so many years. The pastor took over the church, so he was given the church. He was handed over. Look after the church for me. I'll be back. But he convinced the people that the pastor is a very bad man. So when the pastor came back, they said to him, look, we don't know you anymore. You know, whatever you are saying, we don't know. You are just chopping money. You are a very, very bad person. And they threw the pastor out of his own church and disconnected from him legally. And they changed the documents of the church so that he has no power. This man of God, who has been in the ministry for years and built a church, now had to go and find a job to sell cars. So he was now selling. He has so many disciples. Yes. including myself. And now he had to go and sell cars, and he went to learn internet in his old age, how to do computers. And you see him struggling and begging. Meanwhile, he had a church there. And that guy, you see, the Bible says, cursed be the deceiver. Malachi chapter 1. Cursed be the deceiver. When you are deceiving people and turning people away from their leaders, you are cursed. Do you understand? The next time I heard of him, one of his church members has taken him to court. This man who sacked the founder has taken him to court. They took him on a big case that he was doing this, this, and that. He went to prison, to his surprise. He went to prison, lost the church. They took over the church, everything. So what he did to his father, is the curse followed him till he was in prison. The last time I heard was, I think he has now even come out of prison. I don't know what he's doing now. You know, you have to be very careful. You know, those of you who forget. That's why people don't do well in school. When you go and sit to do an exam, you don't remember anything. That's why you can't do well. Yeah. Some of you are uneducated because you don't remember anything when you go and do exams. When they say, what is the longest river in the world? You say River Gweru or River Kwekwe. You know, how can it be the longest river in the world? Abba. Then we have those who pretend. You see, when you are spiritually blind, you see those who are dangerous sons. You have sons who are very dangerous, called Absalom. And Absalom is a man who takes over his father's life and attacks his father. One day, a man of God sent a missionary to a certain country whose name begins with a G. And they built a big church. But one day, the pastor who had been sent there decided to take over the church. So he printed leaflets. I know two pastors who have printed leaflets about their founders. I know two different pastors. One in one country and another in another country. They printed leaflets and shared it to the members. When you come, they'll write in the leaflet, they've written points, reasons why you must know the bad things about this pastor. Number one, he has stolen this. Number two, he's this. Number three, he does this. Number four, printed. I saw it myself. And shared it. As the members were coming, you think that it's a flyer or brochure for outreach or a concert that is coming. But it was propaganda to destroy the pastor of the church. Hey. And, you know, I traveled and I came to that particular country whose name begins with a G. And I spoke to a senior man of God. And he asked me, have I heard about this case? I said, I was hearing something. And he immediately spoke. He said, it is an Absalom. It is a what? An Absalom. An Absalom has come to town. Yes. It's an Absalom. A son who attacks his father. I mean, whether your father is even... Look, you must honor your father, otherwise you will not do well. No matter what. Oh. And some of you cannot do well because you don't know how to honor your own fathers. Yeah. A person who does not honor his father is an Absalom. Somebody who can attack his own spiritual father. Stand in the pulpit and say wild things about your father and spread leaflets. Your name is Absalom, a very dangerous name. Dangerous. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Yes. So, dangerous sons, if you are blind, you will not know about these people. And these people will go through your life. They will spoil your church. When you see one, you not recognize him. When he's standing there, you will say, oh, hallelujah, welcome. Whereas God cast Lucifer out, you will be making him a reverend minister or even turning him into a bishop. Amen.
So all these people, it's very important that we study and know about them. Amen. Those who accuse you and those who are disloyal. Those who accuse you are people who are constantly saying negative things. God has not called you or anybody to describe our faults. As I'm standing here, I have faults. You don't need to even do any investigation. The faults are there. And yours are also there. More faults. We don't need anybody to come and start finding out all our faults and telling us we are bad, we are this, we are that, we are that. There is no need of that. What you need is somebody to pray for you. Either you will be an intercessor or an accuser. Are you listening to me? Yes. So you must know how to deal with accusations. Accusations are such that you must cast down the accuser. Anybody who shows respect to accusers is somebody who does not understand spiritual principles. Somebody will say, oh, but I must walk in love. You must walk in love. Then you are more loving than God. Huh? Did God not love Lucifer?
He did.
And when Lucifer was a rebel, what did God do? He cast him out. He said, go out. You cannot be more loving than God. It is self-unrighteous judgment. It is called unrighteous judgment. You cannot be more loving than God. How does God deal with Lucifer?
He cast him out.
In Revelations 12:11, it says, the accuser... Okay, read it.
Revelations chapter 12 and verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down.
Down.
Which accused them before our God day and night.
Anybody who allows an accuser to stay, you'll never be strong. Never. Never. You can never be strong in the presence of an accuser. I can't stand being around accusers. Once I detect that you suspect me, I'll never be in your company. Oh, yes. All my life, I always excuse myself from the company of accusers. Once I see that you accuse me, my next word is excuse me. If I can't excuse myself, then I ask you to leave. If I can't ask you to leave, I excuse myself. I say, oh, excuse me, please. Because your eye toward me is evil. You only see evil in everything that I'm doing. You'll be surprised that some people in Mutare will criticize us before we came to have a crusade. Suspecting us of evil. Most of the time, you see pastors are filled with accusations. What are you coming to do? You are coming to get something from us. What are we coming to get from you? Eh? When you think about it, what do you think we are coming to get from? I've been in Zimbabwe for 32 days. Preaching every night, morning, night, morning, night, morning, night. What are we going to get from Zimbabwe? A country which doesn't even have a currency. Even a currency you don't have. You don't have it. You can see a crowd like yesterday night, thousands of people. You take an offering, $600. $300, the whole crowd. Yeah. What are we coming to get from you? But you see, accusations weaken pastors and weaken the ministry. And then you see people talking, saying big things. Hey! And pastors, I'm telling you, that's why you are weak. Oh, yes. Because you allow such people to be in your church and in your midst. One time I had a pastor like that. Hey, he was always accusing me. He said I was not called by God. And what I was doing was not from God. Because I was a student.
And he felt that I shouldn't be a pastor and a student. And he poisoned everybody. So when I come to the church, everybody is looking at me with seven eyes. The man who is not called is coming to preach. And they also said that I don't know how to preach well. So when I come to stand there, it's like the man who doesn't know how to preach. Let us see the confirmation that today the message is not a good message. I tell you, I've never been weaker. I was so weak. You see, Revelation 12:11 says, strength has come because the accuser is down. Power has come because the accuser is down. Salvation has come because the accuser is down. The kingdom has come because the accuser is down. So when you don't silence accusation, weakness comes. Weakness. I've never been as weak as I was in those days. When I come to preach, my hand is shaking like this. I've been in more tense meetings. I will not shake like that. My mouth will not be dry. This Good Friday, I was preaching. The president of my country was sitting behind me. Throughout, I preached, prayed for the sick, took miracles, did everything. My hand was not shaking. I never became thirsty whilst I was preaching. But in those days, when I preach more, my tongue gets glued to the top of my mouth. It is not able to turn. So words are not able to come out. Hey! Accusation turned me into paper. I used to have diarrhea every Saturday. Because Sunday is coming and my accusers are going to gather. My congregation was made of accusers. So on Saturday, I start to have running stomach in preparation for Sunday. I was afraid. Hey, they say I'm not called. They say I'm not serious. They say I don't know how to preach. They say I don't know this. I don't know how to be a pastor. And what I'm doing is wrong. God has not called me. God has not sent me. I was shaking. So one day, I read a scripture, Proverbs 22 and verse 10. Proverbs 22 and verse 10. I want you to read it with me. That is this book, Loyalty and Disloyalty. Cast out the accuser.
Proverbs 22 and verse 10. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out.
Yes.
Yea, strife and reproach shall cease.
Cast out
the scorner.
The scorner.
And contention shall go out.
That is exactly what I decided to do. I decided to cast out the scorner. Amen. And I called for a meeting and I said, all scorners come. And the scorners came. They didn't know what I was going to do to them. Hey! Are you there? And when they came, I said, go out of my life and my ministry from today. I don't want you here. Amen. And one of the pastors whom I asked to leave, he was surprised. He said, oh, why do you want me to go? I will stay in the church. I said, no. I don't want you to stay in the church. Amen. Amen. Yes. I don't want you to stay in the church. Go from today. Go. I don't need your assistance again. Go. White people, they suck. Black people don't suck people. That's why our organizations get spoiled. Yes. Yeah. Is it not true?
Very
true. Yeah. That's why our organizations are destroyed. Because we are not hard enough to say, you are spoiling everything. Go away. But I did that, and I drove out the main leader and all the people who criticize me. And what went away? Not just the person, contention, confusion, the questioning of me. You can't question me every day when I stand up. You are questioning my calling. Why? Why? And all those things went out. Then I became stronger. I became stronger. The people who are around me believed in me. Even if my preaching wasn't so good, they believed in me. Even if it was immature, they believed in me. That's why I believe a lot in young pastors. Yeah, I support pastors. So never try to turn me against pastors. You'll not get me to turn against pastors. No. No matter what. Yeah, I support pastors. That's my work. I back them. Even if they fall out, I will be the one to lift. I'll clean you myself. Yes. Because I've been there, where I was being destroyed by accusers. My whole ministry, my whole life was being cut into pieces. If I had not recovered from that thing, I wouldn't be standing here today. That would have been the end of it. I would have believed what they are saying, that I'm not called. I couldn't preach. I shouldn't. I'm stepping out. I'm not doing the right thing. I would have stopped. And today I will be somewhere else. I don't know what I'll be doing. Probably dead. So, you must overcome the blindness of your mind. You see, one day I met a pastor. He had grown very lean. Like from size 12, he had become size 9. Hey. So I asked him, why have you so lean? He said, because of fasting. And I asked him that, what are you fasting about? He said, disloyalty. Disloyalty. He said, every church I build, a disloyal person comes and takes the members away. And I told him, the medicine for that is not fasting. The Bible says, this kind goes not out but by fasting and prayer. So there is a kind that is dealt with by fasting. Every kind has its solution. Every problem has its solution. And disloyalty is not cured by fasting. It's not destroyed by prayer. In fact, prayer and fasting may make it even worse. Because the people who are disloyal become more anointed. And you have anointed Judas. Anointed Lucifers. Hey! So you need to be a master of the key of wisdom and knowledge so that your mind is not blocked and blinded. Pastors are blind. They don't know what they should know. So they are like blind men. And like that lady who I spoke to, who was going to marry a blind man. I mean, when she described how they cheat the blind man, because the blind man was rich. They said they cheat him. They cheat his money. They would tell him this money is there, but it's not there. They've taken it. They would say this one costs, bread costs this, but you can't see the cost of the bread. You can't see the cost of the money. You don't know what is happening. They are taking your using because you are blind. It's a very difficult thing. When you are a pastor, you are blind. They will cheat you. Those who will leave you, those who are dangerous sons, they will cheat. All of them will cheat. Those disloyal guys, they will spoil the chest, scatter everything. You will be poor. They will take your money, liars, thieves, everyone around you. Oh. So your mind must be healed by the wonders of the teachings of the word. And that's why I brought you these wonderful books. And at the end of the conference, I'm going to make these books available to you. Hallelujah. Now, the last type of blindness, I'm just dealing with three types of blindness, spiritual blindness, this morning, is caused by a lack of the anointing.
Revelation 3, verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to solve this problem, to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes, anointing of your eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Blindness is also, unfortunately, caused by a lack of the anointing. Many years ago, God anointed me to teach. That's how come I'm here today. You see, Nicodemus told Jesus, unless God is with you, no man can do these things except God is with you. If it were not for the anointing, I could not be standing here. Now, one night in 1988, I was in prayer, and I'm going to be ending in the next 5 minutes, so just pay attention. I was in prayer in a town called Suhum in Ghana. And I was a Scripture Union, and I still am a Scripture Union baby. And I was praying on my knees. I was kneeling down by my bed, and I knelt over. But I fell asleep. It was around 7. But I woke up again later on. And when I woke up, there was a message playing, tape recorder. It had played all night, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It was a man called Hagen, Kenneth Hagen. He was preaching powerfully. But I've heard this preaching many times, but I always used to play it. But I like listening to preaching. Suddenly, at about 3 a.m., something jumped out of the tape and entered my belly. Then I heard a voice in the room, and the voice in the room said, from today, you can teach. From today, you can teach. And then I heard another voice, which was softer and different, said that, and I will prove it to you. God started to prove it to me from that time. You see, Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 2 says, the Spirit entered into me when he spoke to me. So the anointing entered me. That's when I became anointed. My first anointing is that day when the Holy Spirit entered me. Ezekiel 2 verse 2. Read it.
Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 2. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me. Wow. And set me upon my feet.
Wow.
That I heard him that spake unto me.
Wow. Today the Spirit is entering into you as I'm speaking to you. That's how I caught the anointing. And that's why I wrote this book, Catch the Anointing. You will learn all about it in here. Those were the steps I took to catch the anointing. Listening to messages. And I have this wonderful book, Steps to the Anointing. Now that anointing has been influencing everything I'm doing since I became anointed. My eyes were open, and my eyes have been opening ever since into many things. Sweet Influences of the Anointing of the Holy Spirit is one of the best books that I ever wrote about the Holy Spirit. The sweet influence of the anointing. You see, that day, it was like in Acts 10:44, when Peter was preaching. In Acts 10:44, the Bible says, whilst Peter yet spake these words, whilst Peter was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them that heard these words. Today, as I'm preaching, the Holy Ghost is falling on all those that are hearing these words. Holy Ghost is falling.
falling. And it's this Holy Spirit that makes the difference. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing is being done outside the work of the Holy Spirit. And that day, the Holy Spirit whispered in my heart, I will prove it to you. The first proof of that anointing came when out of the blue, I was suddenly invited to speak at the Full Gospel Businessmen's breakfast meeting in that very town, a town that did not even know who I was. I was just a medical student. But I became the main speaker in that town at a Full Gospel. Sit down, gentlemen. The guys cannot see. At a Full Gospel breakfast meeting. All right? And suddenly I was speaking. And that was the first time I preached after that experience. Eish! And the power of God, I could already see. Something wonderful was beginning to happen. Before I came back to my church with 25 members. And I started to speak to the 25 members. But now I was under a new influence. You see, the sweet influence of the Holy Ghost. That's what this book is about. The sweet influence of the Holy Spirit. Yes. I was under a new influence. Oh. And I've been under that influence. He says, anoint thine eyes with eye salve. The lack of anointing is a cause of a severe deficiency in ministry. When you lack anointing, you are like a school teacher lecturing in a school classroom as against a preacher. You see, like when a plane crashes, if a plane crashes, they call for what they call counselors, psychologists. There are a lot of people who give advice. School teachers give advice. Counselors give advice. But what is an anointed man of God? That's a different thing altogether. You are receiving that anointing and turning into an anointed minister. God has not called you to give lectures. God has not called you to a school classroom. He's called you to be an anointed minister. Because it's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, since the Holy Spirit came upon me, He has opened my eyes to many revelations. It's the anointing that is on my life that gives me all the revelations that I'm experiencing. If you even look at the books that I've written, you find that it's not likely to find another book with the same topic. I'm sure there are some. But it's quite unusual. The art of hearing. The art of following. God gave me the confidence and the revelation to see that it is people who follow and copy others who advance in their ministries. And those who are trying to be original prophets and original pastors, they become nothing. It's a revelation. God gave me the revelation. The art of ministry. How to be in the ministry. Oh yes, God is giving me all this. The anointing that is on my life is what is working. That's when you see me even preaching at a crusade, it's actually the same anointing from today you can teach. You see that I'm teaching at the crusade. Many pastors don't even know what I'm talking about. Yes. From today you can teach. From today you can teach. May you hear those blessed words. From today you can teach. That was the day. Blindness was taken away from me. And I was lifted up into a higher dimension of ministry. And a higher dimension of all the things that I'm doing. My church, which was 25 members, grew and grew and grew and grew. Into a worldwide ministry. Even today, I had a message from my pastor in Vanuatu Island. It's an island in the Pacific Ocean. He is there. He's a Ghanaian. He's building a church. He told me he has found a land to build his church building. You are being anointed to have a worldwide ministry. God is sending you to the world like he sent Moses to the Israelites. You are being sent to deliver many people and to help many people. God is going to use you for mighty works. And these mighty works is not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Anointing will take away blindness. Your hesitation is because of your blindness. One day I was in a room and a blind man came there. When he entered the room, he started holding the door, the wall. And he came to greet me. And when he greeted me, he held my hand and started to feel my body. Then he asked the person who was assisting him, who is he like? You see, when you are blind, you are hesitant. You are slow. Your ministry is slow because you are blind. You are hesitant because you are blind. You are asking certain questions because you are blind. But today God is taking away your blindness and is giving you light and knowledge by the anointing. By the anointing. And that's why we came here to share with you some of the wonderful revelations that have built almost 3,000 churches from one ministry. Yeah. What a blessing. What a great blessing. One of the very best books that you will ever have in your hand is this one. It's called The Art of Leadership. It's one of the best of all my books that you will put in your hand. This book cannot be read in a day or even in a month. It will take you nothing less than 7 years to read this book. In Revelation chapter 10, the Bible describes a mighty angel who came and brought nothing other than a book, a little book. Revelation chapter 10, verse 1 and verse 2. After that, verse 8, 9, 10, and 11.
Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven.
Everybody say mighty angel. Say mighty angel. Mighty angel. Say mighty angel. Mighty angel. What are you bringing? Ask the angel, what are you bringing? Mighty angel. Mighty angel.
Mighty angel.
What are you bringing?
What are you bringing?
Read on.
Clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head.
Wow.
And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open.
What is the angel bringing?
A little book.
How big is this angel? One leg on the land.
And he set his right foot upon the sea.
Right foot is in the sea.
And his left foot on the earth.
Left foot is in Mutari. Hey! This is a very, very huge angel. Where is the nearest sea to Mutari? Where's the sea? Mozambique, Beira. Indian Ocean. Right leg in Beira in the sea. And left leg in Mutari. What is this angel bringing?
A little book open.
Open book.
And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and
Revelation
said,
chapter 10.
And read said, it. Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth.
Everybody say, go and take the little book. Go and take the little book. Go and take the little book. Go and take the little book.
And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up.
And what?
And eat it up.
Have you ever heard of eating a book? Do you eat books or you eat food? We eat food and we read books. But this angel is telling us something to get into our coconut head. He's saying, eat the book. Don't read it. Eat it. You eat a book until it is part of your meat. That's why I say that book will not take you anything less than 7 years to understand it. If it's reading you, yes, reading, you can read it in 3 days. But eating, nothing less than 7 years. Oh, yeah, I'm sure of that. If it's eating, it will take you nothing less than 7 years to actually eat this book, The Art of Leadership. Read on, brother.
Eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey.
Wow.
And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey.
And
as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter.
Ministry working for God has two sides. Bitter and sweet. If you are not prepared for both sides, don't even try. Resign now and become another religion, please. Hey. Now, I want to know the effect of reading such a little book.
And he said unto me.
Is this verse 11?
Last verse, verse 11. Verse 11. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy.
After eating this book, the whole angel has come and said, eat this book because
thou must prophesy
or preach
again before many people.
Many people are going to listen to you after you have eaten the books that God is giving to you.
And nations.
Many nations. Those of you who are localized in Zimbabwe, God is giving you an international ministry.
And tongues.
Tongues. Different languages. You will need interpreters from now onwards in your life. You see my interpreter, stand up. This is my Shona interpreter. I brought him from Gweru. Is it Gweru? All the way from Gweru. I need him. I need him because I have been anointed by eating books to speak to different tongues. I need the Shona tongue. Otherwise, I'm lost. I need him. I've carried him everywhere in Zimbabwe. Hey! I'm now an international, internations, nation to nation. I've been anointed to speak to different tongues. Wow. I have singers who can sing in different tongues like this one. She sings different tongues. Shona, Ndebele, Zulu, Sotho, different language. Hausa, Twi, French, different languages, Portuguese. I need it because my ministry is to tongues. I need tongues, more tongues. Hey! And what is going to happen again?
And the last one is kings.
Kings, you are going to speak to kings. Kings! Kings! And all this comes from eating the little book that the angel is bringing. Now, today I'm standing here presenting you books. I'm not an angel, but there's probably an angel right here. Yes, because when angels act, you can't often see them moving. When they're even saving you, helping you, you don't see them, but they are doing something. And there's probably a mighty angel here. And you ask yourself, this big angel, what's such a tall angel? And what is this angel doing? Giving you a book. Many years ago, somebody came to me and gave me a book. The book by Kenneth Hagin. That's what introduced me to his preaching. That's what made me start to listen to his teaching and his preaching. That's what gave me that anointing on that day. Is that anointing that has influenced me? Is that anointing that makes me stand here? My job, my life, my ministry, the people who follow me, the people who are with me, it is all from the anointing. That's why pastors must have your eyes fixed on the anointing and on anything that you need to do to get more of the anointing. You need to do it. Whatever you need to do to become anointed, do it. Anything, humble yourself. If you say, lie on the floor, walk naked from here to whatever to get anointed, it is worth it. After that one trip or walking naked, you will be anointed. That's all. Your whole life is changed. Whatever it is. And you must always attribute things in the ministry to the anointing. Don't, you see, the lack of the fear of God does not attribute things to God. You see, white people in America, they've discovered stars, moon, planets. They know so many science, but they say there is no God. So what it is that they have the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, but they don't have the spirit of the fear of the Lord. It is the spirit of the fear of the Lord that makes you attribute things to God.
Amen.
So when you don't have the spirit of the fear of God, you don't say or you don't think that it is from God. So when you see a man of God ministering, you may say, oh, it's because he's fair colored. Oh, because he's from America. Oh, because he's this, because he's that. So you, because you don't have the fear of God, you don't attribute it to God. The fear of God makes you afraid of God and makes you conscious of God and makes you attribute things to God that it is God that is doing something. So be very conscious of the anointing and seek the anointing, and God is going to bless you. So when we close in a couple of minutes, a book, this set, all these books I've mentioned, all except three of them, are all available in this library. It's a special library, even made in a box. You know, I could have even just brought the books on them because this box costs a lot of money and the rubber on it also costs a lot of money. There are books, 1, 2, 3, up to 40. One book is $10. Some are $15. So the price is $450 just for this. If you were to go to America, you would be paying $800, $900 for this. But just for you in Zimbabwe here, $450. Why don't you put your hands together? Hallelujah. But since this is our last campaign and today is the last night, we are going to give this to you for, instead of $450, instead of $900 or $800 or $450, we are going to give it to you for just $55 for all these books. Yes. Which is a gift. That means that one book is costing $1 and a little bit of. Yes. How much is a Coca-Cola? Wow. Coca-Cola is $1. And a little book which can change your life forever is costing just $1 for you. So, but you see still some people who say, give me some nyama, give me some nyama. I cannot buy this book. So God is going to bless you and blindness is taken away from your life forever in the name of Jesus. What is the first cause of blindness? Pride. Pride makes you blind. Pride makes you blind. You are so high. Important things are small to you. When somebody is offended, it's nothing to you. Say, oh, get out. Don't. It's nothing. Stupid. Forget about it. When people are suffering, it's nothing to you. When people are not saved, it's nothing. Oh, these are just prayer. Every important thing is not, it's small. You're too high. What is the second cause of blindness? Blindness of the mind. You don't read, you don't think, you don't have knowledge. Huh? The Bible says a man of knowledge is strong. A wise man increases knowledge. Knowledge strengthens a man. More than 10 mighty men in the city. Ecclesiastes 7:19. Wise men are strong. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. Proverbs 24, verse 5. A wise man is strong. A man of knowledge increases strength.
Proverbs 24, verse 5. A wise man is strong.
Mm.
Yea. A man of knowledge increaseth strength.
Strength. A
wise man is
strong. A wise man is strong.
A wise man is strong. Once you have the wisdom. So these books are a blessing to you. They are giving you wisdom. A wise man is strong. A man of knowledge increaseth strength. Ecclesiastes 7:19, I think. It says that wisdom strengtheneth a man more than 10 mighty men in a city. More than 10 mighty men in a city.
Ecclesiastes 7 verse 19. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city.
Mm. You are going to be stronger. So instead of being blind, you are going to be stronger than 10 mighty men which are in a city. The Bible says, a man's wisdom makes his face to shine. Your face will shine because of your wisdom. So as you are receiving these books, Ecclesiastes 8:1, as you are receiving these books, the wisdom you are receiving is making your face and your life to shine. You are the next shining star of Mutare, I'm telling you.
Ecclesiastes 8:1. Who is as the wise man?
Ah! Who is as the wise man?
And who knoweth the interpretation of a thing?
Wow.
A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine.
A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine.
And the boldness of his face shall be changed.
And the boldness. My goodness. When you are blind, you are not bold. You are timid. Careful. You'll be holding things. But when you are filled with wisdom, it changes your boldness. Because you are filled with the wisdom of God. Amen? Amen. So get wisdom with all you're getting. Wisdom is the main thing. Why is it the main thing? You see a man who is a doctor at the age of 27, but he has been to school for 25 years. 25 years of 27 years has been going to just acquire knowledge and wisdom. It means that wisdom is the main thing to get. Before you even start to be a doctor, you spend 26 years acquiring knowledge and wisdom. Before you start doing anything, you can't do anything unless you have the wisdom and the knowledge. You are blind. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. A man's wisdom makes his face to shine and changes the countenance of his boldness. His boldness of his face is changed. Wisdom is the main thing. So what we are sharing with you, and by the way, before I forget, I have here wonderful teachings, audio. Now listen, if you are a young man, maybe that some of the old men, you can't learn this. But if you are a young man, you can learn this. Listening to preaching. That's what happened to me that night. I was listening to preaching and I was touched. I was changed by listening to preaching. I've brought this for you. It's called the Makane. Everybody say Makane. Makane. Say Makane. 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 If you are a young man, especially, you know, some of the old guys, you can't teach them new things. Ask your neighbor, are you too old to learn a new thing? Are you too old to learn? But if you are young enough, you can start to listen. This is small on a USB. You can get it and listen. Start listening. Oh, your ministry will come to you because faith comes by hearing. Yes. Ministry comes by hearing. Yes. Your walk comes by hearing. Your life comes by hearing. Your pleasing God comes by hearing. Everything about you comes by hearing. So get one of these. Your life will never be the same. Stand to your feet, everybody. What is the third cause of a lack of, what's the third cause of blindness? Lack of the anointing. Get the anointing. God is going to change your life and ministry. Lift your hands up, everybody. Father, thank you for your word today. Guide our lives, guide our souls, guide our heart out of debilitating blindness
Save us from darkness. Save us from wickedness. Save us from the shadows of blindness, that we may see, and the boldness of our face and of our countenance will be changed. Our faces will begin to shine in ministry. Bring about shining, oh God. Shine us, shine us, shine us. Thank you. Take away the pride that makes us lofty and high, above practical things and above real ministry, above the humble works of God. Thank you. I rebuke blindness. I rebuke blindness. Go out of the people now. Let eyes be open. Let scales drop from our eyes right now. Let a new light shine. The light of the gospel, the light of preaching, the light of the word, the light of teaching. Enter your life. Whatever is blind about you, God is revealing to you right now. Father, thank you for your blessedness and your great healing. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, before I take my seat, I want to also introduce to you these wonderful books here. One is called The Good General, Good Fighter. And one is called The Anointed and His Anointing. And this one is called What It Means to Be as Wise as a Serpent. Do you have lions in Mutare? Do you have snakes in Mutare? You see, snakes should be in the zoo, just like the lions. But they are here with us because they are so wise. And Jesus said, be wise as the serpents. And today, God is giving you that great wisdom. So these three books are not in the set. But if you want it, light is going to come. He says, lest the light of the gospel or the light of preaching or the light of teaching should come into their lives. When you teaching and preaching comes into your life, light is coming into your life. Lest the light of the gospel should shine. Shine. You see, as soon as you are listening to preaching, it's like a light is shining on you. Like you are seeing. You are seeing. Many times I've been listening to preach and I jump. I get up. Or sometimes reading my own Bible, I jump, I get up. Light has come. Ha! I can see. I can see. Many times I see people on stage jumping. I can see. I can see. I can see. I can see. Seeing makes people so happy. God is giving you sight today and delivering you from wickedness and from blindness, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And last of all, I'm going to do one of the most spiritual things that I could ever do here, which is to receive from you a special seed. Now, you all know that there's not so much money in the system, but I believe that it's my duty to lead you out of difficulty and poverty. And there is no prosperity without giving. And I want to encourage everybody here to believe God to sow a special seed in this campaign. Now, what are you sowing a seed? You are sowing a seed into my ministry. You are sowing a seed into Healing Jesus campaign. You are sowing a seed and say, I believe and I sow a seed. And what entitles you is to a harvest of somebody also sowing a seed into your ministry and into your life. Just as you help the Healing Jesus convoy to go to the next town, God will help your life to move to the next location of your ministry. How many believe that it's a very important spiritual thing? Yes. You know, sometimes pastors are the people who are not serious. Even to give, pastors don't give. Even sometimes to listen to preaching, pastors don't listen. One day, Kenneth Hagin said he went to a certain town and he was preaching and the pastor was not even listening to what he was saying. Then when they went for lunch, the pastor went to the toilet and he spoke to the wife. And he told the wife that, do you know your husband is going to die soon? And that all the time that I was preaching, he was not listening to what I was saying. And that he needs to listen. He died a few weeks later. So many times, pastors are the most unspiritual people when it comes to working for God and serving God. So today I believe that there are many spiritual. If you are not spiritual, don't give. But if you are spiritual, sow a seed from you or from your church. You want to say, Pastor, I want to give $10,000. I want to give $5,000. I want to give $1,000. I want to give $500. I want to give $100. I want to give $50, $20, 10 bond notes. Whatever you give, we are going to use it to buy petrol. We are driving from here to Bradby, almost 1,000 kilometers with all these cars. It's a blessing for you as you sow a seed in a good thing. Can I have an amen from somebody? So if you are here and God has touched your heart, only if God has touched your heart, you want to give, be part of giving this offering, then come and take my envelope from my hand right now. Come from my envelope. And tonight or this morning, you bring the envelope. Doctor, help me to give the envelopes out. Pastors, can you help me to give the envelope out? Yeah. Wow.